Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas, Texas. I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report. It is Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015, and here to join me, as always, my partner and co-host, Jeff Rivers.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Doing pretty well, considering that yesterday was Groundhog Day, which, you know, determines whether or not we're going to have an early spring or, you know, more cold weather, supposedly,
right.
Anyway.
So what was the verdict?
The verdict is, of course, Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most beloved and furry seasonal prognosticator, did see his shadow yesterday morning, which means six more weeks of winter, Jeff. So,
okay. I think that's in contrary to Jimmy, right?
Say that again?
That's contrary to what Jimmy predicted.
Jimmy is not on my radar, so I don't follow Jimmy. I follow Punxsutawney.
What in the world was that? You know,
that was the one that bit, isn't Jimmy the one that bit his?
Yeah, it bit the guy in the ear or something. I never had heard of Jimmy before this year, so.
Well, that's one way to get in the news about your handler. And actually, Jimmy predicted it at spring. Actually, he contradicted Punxsutawney Phil.
Right.
But no, I don't pay attention to Jimmy. Phil. Phil is the man for me. So
yeah.
That's the one I go by.
Exactly.
So anyway.
So six more weeks.
You know, other countries have to, you know, just look at us, and they have to be so jealous of that holiday that we have, Jeff, Groundhog Day. It's just. One of the most important holidays on our calendar, you know?
Right,
really.
Yes, exactly.
And for people around the world, February 2nd in the United States is called Groundhog Day. And basically what happens is the groundhog comes out, and if he sees his shadow, that means he goes back into his, you know, his little house, so to speak, which means six more weeks of winter. When he doesn't see his shadow, that means that spring is coming early, meaning that winter is going to end early, although spring doesn't officially end until March 21st.
Right.
So it's a ridiculous holiday, just to sum that up. I think last year an early spring was predicted, and if you remember, we had a very cold March and April, so things didn't pan out. So.
Right.
Before I go dive into the lot of things going on today, Jeff, but in the last hour, at least six people died and 12 were injured when a Metro North train hit two cars in Valhalla, New York, a Metro North official confirms. Five of the dead were train passengers, and the sixth fatality was a female believed to be the driver of one of the vehicles. The official said, and Valhalla is about 25 miles north of Manhattan. So our thoughts and prayers certainly go out to those families and all of those people involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Now,
terrible.
Very terrible. Big story, Jeff. Even for ISIS, a group known for murderous brutality, the images posted online today represent a new level of depravity. Video and stills appear to show a Jordanian military pilot being burned alive while confined in a cage. Images of the killing triggered global condemnation and prompted immediate promises of retaliation and protest in Jordan, one of more than 60 nations involved in the U.S.-led coalition against ISIS in Iraq and Syria. The 22-minute video begins with an attack on Jordan's King Abdullah II, suggesting he is to blame for what happened to the pilot, Mu'adh al-Kassasbah. A short time after the video became public, Jordanian military spokesman Mamdou al-Amri said al-Kassasbah was assassinated on January 3rd. His statement indicates that back and forth in recent weeks between Jordan and ISIS about a possible prisoner exchange to free the pilot took place after his death. Jordan repeatedly had asked ISIS to show proof that Al-Qasasbah was alive. Quote, those who doubted the atrocities committed by ISIS now have the proof, Jordanian government spokesman Mohammed al-Mamani said on state TV. Those who doubted Jordan's power will soon see the proof as well. Al-Qasasbah's blood will not be shed in vain. And they go on to say, Jeff, Jordan vows earth-shaking revenge against ISIS. In Amman, a crowd hit the streets similarly calling for revenge. With the blood and self, protesters chanted, we are sacrificing ourselves for Moab. One demonstrator held a poster that read, they burned our hearts, so let's burn their dens and their prisoners in our prisons. Analysts have predicted the brutality of the latest video could come back to bite ISIS. Quote, I think there's likely to be a backlash, particularly in Jordan, said Paul Cruikshank, who is a terrorism analyst. I think it's sort of going to rally support for King Abdullah and his participation in the anti-ISIS coalition. Cruikshank also said that it's possible that Jordan could retaliate by executing al-Rashawi, the convicted terrorist, but he believes the United States and others will encourage Jordan to not take that step and instead to take the fight directly to ISIS, although we're hearing conflicting reports about that tonight, Jeff, because Reuters is reporting that Jordan may execute that suicide bomber soon, possibly tomorrow morning.
Wow.
Also, the group is known to be holding at least two Western hostages still. John Cansley, a British journalist who has appeared in a number of ISIS-produced videos, and an American woman who is a 26-year-old aid worker. Quote, the propaganda factor, I think, is going to completely backfire on them, and the reason I say that is, when was the last time you had a mob in the street of one of these Muslim countries that was not screaming death to America, but in fact screaming get revenge on ISIS, which essentially means team up with America, said Tom Fuentes, a CNN law enforcement analyst. I think it's a huge mistake on the part of ISIS. And I have to agree with him, Jeff. I think they have really, especially in this has not been a good week. If you recall, Japan's prime minister has vowed revenge after the beheading of the two Japanese hostages they had there.
Right.
And we know Japan does not play, to say that lightly. Japan's, they typically say we're a defensive nation. We don't attack people. We are always prepared to defend our, you know, our borders and our own country. But in this case, they feel like they've been attacked with these two guys beheaded. And now you have Jordan, which is, you know, a Muslim country that, you know, Mr. Fuente said, he thinks it's a huge mistake on the part of ISIS because they are, in fact, willing to team up with America to help bring down ISIS. And we have not seen that in the past. Right. So I think ISIS may have bit off more than they could chew this time. And, you know, Jeff, what's sad is some innocent people are probably going to have to die to bring ISIS down. But, you know, other people have made the argument that innocent people are already dying.
That's true. That's true. And it's unfortunate, but they put themselves amongst general population where you have to almost, you know, inadvertently kill innocent bystanders in order to kill them. And so it's this, keep on doing this or get them and try to minimize how many innocent people you kill, but we've got to get them, you know. This is just terrible.
I agree. And it's I think their days are numbered. I'll be honest with you. This King Abdullah actually was at the White House today and met with President Obama, but he did cut his visit short so he could get back to his home country and deal with what they're going to do next there and what their next step is. You know, as far as you know, being diplomatic and these countries trying to encourage Jordan not to execute the prisoner that they have, who are we to say that, you know, Jeff?
Right.
That's Jordan's call.
That is Jordan's call, but I would like to see them go after ISIS and not just in a revenge attack, But an attack to obliterate ISIS once and for all, you know, them and Japan, along with us, if we can somehow, you know, get together. And if I were Obama, I would be trying to get, you know, all parties together to try to find a, you know, a uniform front to, you know, take them out once and for all. They all need to be killed. Have to be.
And there are 60 nations in this coalition to bring down ISIS. So I think their days are numbered, and I certainly hope so. You know,
me too.
It's been nearly 6 months since Robin Williams' death, and in the last two, the late comedian's family have entered into a dispute over the personal property his trust assigns each of them. On one side is his widow, Susan Williams, who filed a petition in December for a court's interpretation of the trust. On the other are his three children by previous marriages, Zachary, Zelda, and Cody, who dispute the reading that she provides. The dispute centers on the two houses Williams owned at the time of his death, one in Napa and one in Tiburon, California. Susan's filing calls the Tiburon house the, quote, marital abode, and the trust, which her late husband most recently amended in 2010 before their marriage in 2011, grants her the Tiburon residence and its contents upon his death. But that's where things get complicated. Williams' widow claims that within days of his death in August, the trustees started gathering up the comedian's property. Within weeks, they allegedly informed her that they would come to the Tiburon residence to remove more of it. The co-trustees had keys to her home, and naturally, Miss Williams became frightened of the co-trustees invading her home, reads her petition, which was filed in San Francisco Superior Court. In their opposition, filed in the same court on January 21st, Williams' children tell it differently. They claim that collecting and inventorying Williams' property is part of the execution of the trust. Furthermore, they say she held them off for nearly 3 months while at the same time permitting various third parties to access the residence on her own behalf to appraise certain trust assets, remove certain trust assets from the Tiburon residence, and plan, design, and implement a $30,000 renovation. She complains of not being given time to grieve her loss free from the frenetic efforts to interfere with her domestic tranquility or that of her high school-age sons. But her resistance to the trustees' efforts was in part due to concerns over the interpretation of the trust. And just specifically, there's one paragraph about certain items of Williams' property that his beneficiaries have made into a tricky semantics debate. The paragraph assigns to Williams' children all of his, quote, his clothing, jewelry, personal photos taken prior to his marriage, which was in 2011, to Susan, memorabilia and awards in the entertainment industry, and a tangible personal property located in Napa. Her interpretation is differently, obviously, and there's just so many things that are in this home in Tiburon that the children claim are part of collections that that Robin Williams had collected over his lifetime, which they're calling knickknacks. They include Japanese animated figurines, antique weapons, carved boxes, theater masks, rare books, lapel pins, fossils, graphic novels, and skulls. And they were carefully amassed during his lifetime and should go to his children, they argue. So once again, much like Casey Kasem,
yeah,
you know, you know, James Brown, there's so many that come to mind when these Sherman Hemsley, when these stars pass away, and you know, it brings up
the worst of people.
It really does. Just looking at it from, you know, as an outside, you know, party looking in, I have to. He was married to, you know, The wife, you know, clearly she deserves the home. This is his widow. However, they were only married for 3 years. And, you know, he's amassed a collection. You know, he has grown children. And so
right.
I do see their argument as well that they should, and if it's written as that they should have access to all that and that should be theirs, then it should be, whether they're in the Napa home or the Tiburon home.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how that how the courts come down on that. And but it looks like it's going to be a long, drawn-out process, Jeff, unfortunately.
Yeah, it sounds
so,
like it.
Anyway, we've seen that before, and hopefully they can work things out, unlike what happened with the whole Casey Kasem saga. That was just terrible. All right, we've got more to get to, but first, on this day in 1977, pop superstar Elton John resumed live performing in Sweden 15 months after he had announced that he would not perform live anymore. At the movies, Rocky, an American sports drama film written by and starring Sylvester Stallone, along with Talia Shire, was in its third overall week at the top of the box office, and the number one song in the land was this. Number one on this day in 1977, Rose Royce and the biggest hit of their career, Car Wash. Number one for 1 week on the pop charts, number one for 2 weeks on the R&B charts, and that song did go platinum, and that is from the film of the same name, starring Richard Pryor. And I haven't seen Car Wash in years, Jeff. That was actually, it was a funny movie. Well, anything Richard Pryor's in is funny.
Oh, so. Yeah, definitely.
Have you ever seen Car Wash, Jeff?
Have.
You remember?
Yeah, but it's been a long, long time. Though.
It's been a long time for me, too. I was just thinking that when that was playing. But that song has that song lived on or what?
Especially that
opening beat. We hear that at every Mavericks game we go to at some point during the game. They'll play that. You know what I mean? That little opening start
right.
to that. And just a great song from the disco era. And good stuff from Rose Royce.
Absolutely.
R&B dance group from Los Angeles, California. Car Wash. Gotta love it. Jeff, there's been a lot of debate the last 2 days over vaccinations with the big measles outbreak that's going across the country. And there was a faulty 1998 report that suggested that vaccinations and immunizations could cause autism in children, which was later found to be not true. And one of the most respected doctors in the country, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, wrote an op-ed tonight about this, and I'd like to read that.
Okay.
Because I think it's brilliant. This is the words of Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He says, "Over the last few hours, I have started, scratched out, and even abandoned the writing of this op-ed. I couldn't do it. It wasn't there. I didn't feel it. Something kept nagging at me, and it wasn't until this very moment that I finally figured out what. It's the idea that this article would be labeled opinion or editorial in the first place. Sure, there are some topics that seem to lend themselves appropriately to opinion pages. The president's new budget? The death penalty? Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback ever? Vaccines, however, which have prevented 6 million deaths every year worldwide and have fundamentally changed modern medicine, should not be on that list. The benefit of vaccines is not a matter of opinion, it is a matter of fact. Studies, including a meta-analysis of 1.2 million children this past December, show no link between vaccines and autism. That is not a matter of opinion, it is a matter of fact. Facts should matter and science should win, but after 13 years as a medical reporter, I know it's not that simple. Science often loses the zeal argument to ideology, and in some ways it is easy to understand why. At the heart of the vaccine argument is the awesome challenge of trying to prove a negative. If you or your child never gets the disease the vaccine was designed to prevent, there is no surprise, there is no headline, and life goes on. The flip side, though, is that 1 in 1 million children, literally 1 in 1 million, who has a serious adverse reaction. It is likely to make the news, confirm the worst fears, and lead to the enlistment of an army in the fight against vaccines. It is worth pointing out that 12 out of 10,000 people who take an aspirin are at risk of intracerebral hemorrhage. I hope I'm saying that right, Jeff.
Intracerebral.
And I knew that. Or bleeding in the brain, basically, is what the same thing, correct?
Right.
People who regularly, People who regularly take too much acetaminophen are the largest group of people hospitalized for acute liver failure, and on average, one person in the United States dies every year from H2O intoxication or drinking too much water, and yet no armies have formed against aspirin, Tylenol, or water. David Katz from the Yale School of Public Health wrote that it makes no more sense to rant against vaccines because you heard of someone who might have had an adverse reaction than to stop walking because you heard about a pedestrian being struck by a car. In many ways, it is a luxury to be able to have this discussion at all. Having spent time in West Africa covering the Ebola outbreak, I saw how people hoped, wished, and prayed for a vaccine to no avail. On the other hand, the measles vaccine is readily available, and yet vaccination rates in certain areas of the United States are similar to the refugee camps I have visited in Haiti, Pakistan, and Jordan. Yes, parents have a choice in this country. It is a choice that so many others around the world will never have. And here's why I may lapse for a moment into opinion. The anti-vaccination argument is often snugly wrapped in the "I love my kids" sentiment, and I find that, well, a little insulting.
Right.
To suggest that anyone who vaccinates their kids doesn't love them is a whole new level of lunacy. But here is the fact of the matter for me. It's not just because I love my kids that I vaccinated them. It's because I love your kids as well.
Exactly.
What do you think of that, Joe?
I think it's beautifully said. You know,
is Dr. Sanjay Gupta just not one of
just
the smartest
so
doctors
smart.
Ever?
I have so much respect for him.
And keep in mind, this was President Obama's first choice for Surgeon General when he took office in 2008, too,
right.
Which he respectfully declined because he wanted to continue to be a medical reporter. And he has done an outstanding job. This is the same guy who has spent a lot of time, especially in 2013 and 2014, researching marijuana, because he found out a lot about marijuana. He said that everything he was taught about marijuana in medical school was not true. And he went out and did that research on his own and,
right.
and found it to have many benefits that are not reported.
Exactly.
And I just thought that Dr. Gupta made a great argument there about vaccinations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it absolutely should be required if you're going to attend a public school or even a charter school. You know, you should have to have your vaccinations, period. You know, if you have the religious belief that you're not going to, you know, you don't want your children to be vaccinated, and you know, that is against your religious belief, then, you know, homeschool them. You know,
and my argument to that, Jeff, is, you know, kids are made to be sit in car seats. You're made to wear seat belts. That's not an option.
Right.
That's not a choice.
Right.
And Senator Rand Paul and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie have gone on record saying that they think it should be a choice by the parent. I disagree with that.
Right.
A lot of people have come at Jenny McCarthy, the actress/comedian, because she's the one that brought this to light, if you remember back in the early 2000s. She even wrote a book about this, I believe, where she said that she thinks that vaccinations were causing children to have autism. And it turns out she got that information from a 1998 report that was determined to be not accurate.
Right.
And so a lot of people are calling for her head lately because of this measles outbreak that started in California.
Right.
Vaccinated at an early age, and I'm thankful for it because I've never had any of those things.
Right.
Rubella or
measles,
you know,
or mumps.
Absolutely. Those
right.
are all horrible. And I just think the way Dr. Gupta laid that out was brilliant.
It's just funny how, you know, one in a million kids will have an adverse reaction, and then people sensationalize that and take it to the nth degree. And whereas it's saving 6 million worldwide every year, and you have one in a million that you have an adverse reaction, you know, come on now. You know, I understand if it's against somebody's religious belief, but, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to be in any kind of, you know, public school system or school system around other people's children, you know, because you've chosen that, you know, maybe your belief, but you shouldn't be around other kids, period. You just shouldn't.
I agree.
You shouldn't be allowed to do that, you know. But I don't think you should be made to do it unless your kids are going to be going to school around
and
other kids.
And I disagree with that, Jeff. I do think that you should be made to do it because kids are going to be around other kids whether they're in school or not.
Well, but that's why they're going to be vaccinated, though, too, you know. And so
I think all kids should be made to be vaccinated. You're saying that you think that it should be a choice for some kids.
Well, if they're going to go to
school they don't
system.
Have a choice for car seats. They don't have a choice for
right.
seat belts. They don't, you know,
right.
There's lots of things kids don't have a choice for. So why is there a choice for that when it's clear?
It is clear, and I'm not denying that. It is clear, and I would in a heartbeat get my kids vaccinated. And I think that everybody else should. And I think it's not, like you said, like Sanjay Gupta said, it's not just a love for your kids, but it's a love for other kids.
But you're taking a stance more with Senator Rand Paul and Governor Christie
as far as saying it's not up
to the parents to decide.
I'm really not. It's not up to the parent. You know, you have to get your kids vaccinated.
So homeschool or not, you think every child should be made to be vaccinated?
I think every child should be made to be vaccinated.
Okay.
But you know, if it's against the religious belief specifically, then you know you shouldn't be allowed to have your kids in a school system. You know, you better homeschool your children, you know.
Well, religious beliefs, again, they don't get you out of car seat laws and they don't get you out of seatbelt laws. So I just don't see anything that
but if you have something where, you know, you're in a certain religious, you know, affiliation that specifically believes against that, then you should be given a waiver for that, but you should not be. They should not be allowed in public school systems. Period. And so I think there should be very little exception about that. You know, if you just have the mere opinion that you know that you're scared about, you know, your child being vaccinated, too bad. They still need to be vaccinated.
I think it should be a federal law that all children, with no exceptions, should be required to be vaccinated. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, that's why I'm thinking, you know, this goes along the separation of church and state, and so
I just think the child seat argument is great. I mean, religion is not factored into that. You know, homeschooling is not factored into that. Your child must be restrained in a car seat, no matter who you are, if you're going to drive a car. I think your child must be vaccinated. That's just my opinion, especially based on Dr. Gupta really summed it up in the best way.
Right, possible. I think he did too. But no, I absolutely think that every child should be vaccinated, you know, but, you know, there was with few exceptions.
Okay, all right. Some interesting news today, Jeff. 55 years after To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee is publishing a second book, her publisher said Tuesday. Ghost Set a Watchman, which Lee completed in the 1950s and then set aside in favor of Mockingbird, will be published July 14th. It follows Scout, the little girl of To Kill a Mockingbird, as an adult. The manuscript was rediscovered last year. Lee, who is now 88 years old, said in a statement from her publisher. In the mid-1950s, I completed a novel called Ghost Set a Watchman, she said. It features the character known as Scout as an adult woman, and I thought it a pretty decent effort. My editor, who was taken by the flashbacks to Scout's childhood, persuaded me to write a novel, what became To Kill a Mockingbird, from the point of view of the young Scout. So, you know, Harper Lee has always been, To Kill a Mockingbird, I'll go on record, that's the best book I've ever read in my entire life. And many people will agree with me on that. That's just a legendary book, Jeff. And but it's Harper Lee's only book that she's ever written, which has always been kind of a mystery. You know, it's like, wow, you hit, you know, pay dirt with that one. Why not something else? So 55 years later, we actually are going to see another book from Harper Lee.
Wow. And
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And finally, in Fresno, California, a 26-year-old woman with the nickname Star, who says she is going to marry 80-year-old mass murderer Charles Manson, will have to wait a little while longer. Afton Elaine Burton and Manson got a marriage license last year to stage a wedding inside a visiting room at the California State Prison in Corcoran. However, it expires Thursday, meaning they missed their chance to tie the knot over the weekend, according to the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Spokesman Jeffrey Callison said Monday that weddings are not held on weekdays at the prison. Ah, just when I was getting my, you know, I was getting my tux ready and, you know, I
right. Dang, I was wanting to go to that.
The wedding of the century will have to be postponed,
wow.
Jeff. So that's a little setback there for oh, geez. Star. That's her nickname, Star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That writes itself.
Right? Star Marion Swastika.
Exactly. All right. That's going to do it for the news. The Wild World of Sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report.
Feels much stronger.
Superstar Bryan Adams and his 18th top 40 hit, Please Forgive Me. And when I say please forgive me, I mean please forgive me. That song is wretched. I'm sorry. It's time for another installment of Trash Your Own Playlist.
Right.
Jeff,
I don't
that
think
song
it's
is
bad.
So boring. I hate it. And I
I don't hate it.
Defend it, because if you don't, I'm going to completely trash it. I think that is the worst song we have probably ever played in the 7 seasons that we have done this show.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I don't think I agree with that.
Oh, my God. It's just so boring. It's just like, it's so long. It's just like, it never picks up steam. It's just, I know it's a ballad. I know it's a, and then, it has that kind of little rock part that comes in that's just completely, it's a mess. I'm just, the whole song is just a complete mess. And, I love Bryan Adams. He had 22 top 40 hits. There's about 5 of his songs, though, that if I never hear him again as long as I live, I'll be just fine, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I think your review cuts like a knife.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me tell you, my review is straight from the heart, Jeff.
Right.
So, and if I hear that song again, I may end up in heaven. So how's that? Before the listeners, everything I do, I do it for you. So,
My goodness, I'm sorry. You seem like the summer of 69 again.
Oh, God. And to end, Jeff, we can't stop this thing we started.
Right.
No, if you and I weren't still arguing about those damn vaccinations, I would have fallen asleep.
I've got more to say, on that too. It's like,
go for it.
It's to me, it's kind of hard to compare the seatbelt law with vaccinations, I understand this country has freedom of religion, and so some people really have the religious belief that they shouldn't have any kind of medical type intervention, even though we all know that that's the best thing. Well, their religious belief is, some people's is to not have any kind of religious intervention. Some people don't want to get numb when they get their teeth worked on because it's against their religion. It's not very many, it's a very few. But if that is their religious belief and they can show that that is their religious belief, that they just didn't just say that because, they don't have any backing of it. If it is their religious belief, and it's, they have proof of that, then I don't think that they should be allowed or they shouldn't be made to do something that's against their belief. But with that said, they shouldn't also be allowed to let their children be amongst in the public forum around other people's children either, though. There's going to be drawbacks to that, because that's not mainstream. And so I believe just as wholeheartedly as you do that everybody should be vaccinated. But I also believe that there's freedom of religion, and that's why this country is great. And so you shouldn't be made to if it's against your religion. Now, if you just don't have the opinion that, it's harmful for your kid or whatever, so what? Look at science. You're going to still get they're still going to be made to do it, unless you can prove that it's your religious belief.
Okay, well, my argument to that, Jeff,
but when you compare a seatbelt law to doing something to somebody's body, it's hard to compare the two. I don't know any religious belief that's like, oh, well, I don't want to be made to wear my seatbelt. That's against my religion. I don't know any religion. When it's something to do with your body, you know, that starts to get into that, you know, where you just can't compare the two.
But your argument is based on religious beliefs that if they don't want to, you know, again, we're talking about the safety of a child. What religion is allowed to not strap their child into a safety seat, into a car seat? Yeah. I don't know of any religion that's allowed that's given an exception to that law. That's my
right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't see anybody, any religious affiliation that's going to be, you know,
but you're saying if there were one, they should be allowed that.
Well, I don't think there is. You know, but there are some okay. that you know. I mean, if there was, I would be completely surprised.
Okay.
But you know, doing something to your body, there's, you know, I've come across more than one person in my life, many people in my life, you know, not that many, a very small minority, but that don't believe in that, and I just don't think that they should be made to do that.
Well,
but there's going to be drawbacks to that, you know. You're going to have to homeschool your children. You're going to have to, you know, go through greater avenues to do the same things that everybody else has privileges to, because that's not fair to subject other people's kids to that.
We're just going to have to agree to disagree on that, Jeff, because I think it should be a federal law that all children should be made to be vaccinated against those kind of things, measles, mumps, rubella, and all of those things. It shows that they work. And that's
I think it should be a federal law, too, with that one exception.
Okay, interesting. All right. Now on to sports. The rocky offseason for the Cleveland Browns offense continues. A day after the team confirmed that second-year quarterback Johnny Manziel had entered a treatment facility for undisclosed reasons, the NFL announced a one-year ban for troubled wide receiver Josh Gordon. A one-year ban. Ouch. News of Gordon's impending suspension, punishment for testing positive for alcohol, leaked last week. Gordon and Manziel were punished by the team for missing the final regular season walkthrough the day before the Browns' Week 17 game at Baltimore. Gordon was suspended for that game, and Manziel, who was on injured reserve, was not allowed to watch the game from the sideline. The pair were photographed together in Aspen, Colorado, shortly after the season ended. And Cleveland general manager Ray Farmer, who so often defended Gordon during a 10-game suspension last season, issued a strongly worded statement today in which he came down hard on the troubled wide receiver. He says, quote, "As we have conveyed, we are disappointed to once again be at this point with Josh. Throughout his career, we have tried to assist him in getting support like we would with any member of our organization. Unfortunately, our efforts have not resonated with him. It is evident that Josh needs to make some substantial strides to live up to the positive culture we are trying to build this football team upon. Our hope is that this suspension affords Josh the opportunity to gain some clarity in determining what he wants to accomplish moving forward and if he wants a career in the National Football League."
Huh.
You know, I what do you say, Jeff? That, you know, he was suspended 10 games last season. This time he will not play at all in the upcoming season.
Right.
And Johnny Manziel is in a rehab clinic. They're saying for undisclosed, other sources say it's alcohol related.
Right.
It's just very sad because it seemed like Cleveland was building upon something there, and they have a big setback now. And also, you know, changing offensive coordinators and everything, it's not going to help as well. So.
Exactly.
A game in doubt until the final seconds and frigid weather conditions across much of the Northeast and Midwest combined to create a record-setting Super Bowl audience for NBC's broadcast on Sunday. The New England Patriots' 28-24 victory over the Seattle Seahawks attracted an average of 114.4 million viewers, making it the most-watched show in U.S. television history.
Wow.
The previous record of 112.2 was established last year for Fox's broadcast of the Seahawks thumping of the Denver Broncos. And, Jeff, less than 16 hours after the game, Seahawks coach Pete Carroll was still defending the decision to call a pass from the one-yard line in the Super Bowl's closing seconds, a call that will long be debated. Carroll stood by the much-criticized decision for Russell Wilson to throw him the to throw from the New England one with 26 seconds left, a pass intended for Ricardo Lockett and intercepted by Malcolm Butler. costing Seattle the title. As he did after the game, Carroll said the clock and the Seahawks' timeout situation dictated they would have to throw once and possibly twice from the one. Quote, "When they sent their goal line guys in, I know we have the advantage on the matchups in the passing game, so let's throw it. It's okay," Carroll said. Carroll also defended offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell, who was widely criticized for not calling for a handoff to bruising running back Marshawn Lynch. "We're so lucky to have him. He's been absolutely instrumental in everything that we have done," Carroll said. "There is no reservation in that thought, and don't make it out like there is, because he's an awesome guy on our staff and he is crucially important to our future." Carroll also confirmed that Seattle quarterback Richard Sherman played the game with torn ligaments in his left elbow and will definitely need Tommy John surgery. And I know you looked that up last night, Jeff, and that was a you remember what that was about, the elbow.
Yeah, it's where they replace the medial ligament in the elbow with with a tendon from elsewhere in the body.
Which seems like, ouch, you know, that's a pretty serious surgery, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
At 37, MVP Tom Brady made it clear he wants more. Quote, "I am still kind of in the midst of my career," Brady said. "I just love the game. I love playing." Brady will have to wait another day, though, for Boston's victory parade. Mayor Marty Walsh pushed back the celebration from today until tomorrow due to snowy weather, which definitely was a smart decision. And the Atlanta Falcons' long wait for new leadership on the field finally ended yesterday when Seattle defensive coordinator Dan Quinn was named the team's coach. The Falcons said Quinn will be introduced at a news conference today. Quinn replaces Mike Smith, who was fired following a 6-10 season. So, and just also some bad news, Jeff, for Warren Sapp. Former NFL lineman and Hall of Famer Warren Sapp was arrested Monday on suspicion of soliciting a prostitute and allegedly assaulting two women, according to Phoenix police. Hours later, the NFL Network announced that they had terminated its contract with Sapp, who had worked as an analyst for the network since 2008 and was in Arizona for Sunday's Super Bowl in suburban Glendale. Sapp, 42, was taken into custody at a downtown Phoenix hotel and booked into jail, police said. He made his initial appearance late Monday afternoon before a Phoenix municipal court judge and was released pending a February 23rd court date. Mm-hmm. Very just bad. Hi, yeah, you know, what is it about
bad choices?
And people make some bad choices in Phoenix. If you remember the Charles Barkley incident, there's just, and it just seems like there's been several incidents where I don't know what the deal is there.
Right.
In the NBA, some finals, five games today. The Boston Celtics defeated the hapless New York Knicks 108-97. The Philadelphia 76ers defeated the Denver Nuggets 105-98. And the Detroit Pistons down the Miami Heat 108-91. Right now, currently Golden State is playing Sacramento. They have a 48-34 lead. And Portland in the second quarter leads the Utah Jazz 35-31. That's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is next right here on the Chat Room.
Adult. You've been messing around with your boyfriend, baby, better left alone.
pop music's most successful duo in history, Daryl Hall and John Oates, and their 20th top 40 hit, Adult Education. Number 8 on the pop charts. I love that song. It's got a great vibe. It's got a, but there's not much by Hall and Oates. Nothing. Actually, I can't think of a song they sing that I don't like, to be honest, Jeff. They're just awesome. And if you ever have a chance to see them in concert, do it. They are so good.
Oh, yeah.
And excellent. We saw them with, was it Hall & Oates and Earth, Wind & Fire the last time we saw them? They were together?
I think so. Yeah.
If that was not, that was outstanding. Two of my favorites of all time. So, and yours, Jeff. So.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Diane Sawyer, the queen of ABC News, is close to lighting up her next big get, a sit-down with the man of the moment, Bruce Jenner, according to multiple reports. BuzzFeed, Us Weekly, The Wrap, and The New York Post are among those trumpeting the news that the former anchor of ABC's Evening News is negotiating to interview Jenner, and based on some other sources, Jeff, she has pretty much landed the interview. A star on an NBC-owned reality show about his future journey. And that's where the kink kind of comes in. They thought that maybe NBC would get this interview, and apparently ABC undercut them and offered a little bit better offer, apparently.
Huh.
It will be Jenner's first interview discussing his transitioning process to become a woman, reported The Wrap. ABC declined to confirm or comment, as did NBC. Jenner, an Olympic gold medal winner and the focus of lurid tabloid speculation for months, is reported to be transitioning to a woman from a man and planning to document the change for a TV docuseries, according to People magazine, among others. And today his mother went on record saying that she's very proud of her son, and she's just as proud of him for coming to terms with who he is. Regarding this, she said she's as proud of this as the day that he won the gold medal in the 1976 Olympics, Jeff. So,
wow.
Very fascinating. You know, I'm still a little shocked, to be honest with you. Not in a bad way. I'm not judging at all. It's your own body, and you've got to do what makes you happy.
That's right.
Just much like Chastity Bono became Chaz Bono. You know,
right.
Who saw that coming? This is a little more shocking, though, I think, Jeff. Is the guy that...
Because he's a gold medal winner, you know.
Right, from the hardest... the decathlon event in the 76 Olympics. And he, as a child, I just remember him being all over the Wheaties box, you know, in that Adidas jumpsuit, that woman suit, you know. And, of course, a star of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. He's got... well, with his own children and stepchildren, 10 children combined altogether.
Right.
So, but, you know, I agree with his mother. You've got to, you know, he's owning what he's doing, and he's going to sit down and talk about it. And, hey, what do you say? So, kudos to Bruce Jenner.
Absolutely. I think that he serves as a good role model for other people that are in this, you know, feel like they're transgendered,
absolutely,
you know, individuals that feel like they're trapped in the wrong, you know, sex.
I agree.
So I think it's great.
Totally agree. Bobby Christina Brown, the daughter of Whitney Houston and R&B singer Bobby Brown, who is currently fighting for her life, was never married, a lawyer for Brown has told members of the media. Quote, "We are currently investigating the events that led to the hospitalization of Bobby Christina," Christopher Brown of Brown & Rosen LLC, legal counsel for Bobby Brown, told TMZ and Access Hollywood late today. To correct earlier reports, Bobby Christina is not and has never been married to Nick Gordon. The pair's marriage raised eyebrows last year because Houston raised Gordon like a son, although she never officially adopted him. But in January of 2014, Brown and Gordon appeared to confirm their marriage to TMZ. "I would tear up. This is exactly what she wanted, us together," said Brown, then 20. On Saturday, Brown was found lying face down and unresponsive in a bathtub at her home in suburban Atlanta. Gordon and paramedics performed CPR, and Brown was taken to North Fulton Hospital in Roswell, Georgia, where she was placed in a medically induced coma. On Monday, her family released a statement that she was fighting for her life, and today, North Fulton Hospital confirmed that Brown was no longer a patient and had been moved to a different hospital. And, of course, her mother, Whitney Houston, was found dead in a hotel bathtub in 2012. So we're coming up on that 3-year anniversary. And It's just very tragic and very sad, this whole situation.
Definitely.
You know, Jeff?
Absolutely.
And I wish the best for her. We've seen things like this. You know, they can come out of this. Hopefully her age would be a factor in if she can make a comeback from this. Because if you remember, they put Joan Rivers in a medically induced coma, too, hoping for positive results, and that turned out not to be the case. So, however, age was not considered a factor in that, if you recall, as well, though. That
exactly.
was just neglect, which is also another lawsuit that's going on. So, but I, you know, again, my thoughts and prayers are with Bobby Christina, as well as I know yours are, Jeff. And
most definitely.
We wish her the best. All right, Jeff. Celebrity birthday time. Let's start with one of your favorites, actress Rebel Wilson of Bridesmaid fame and of, what's the other movie where she played Piggy? Pitch Perfect.
Let's say 36.
Ouch. 29 today for Rebel Wilson. 29. Actress Maura Tierney is the big 5-0. Actor Nathan Lane, Jeff, of Birdcage fame, stands out. A big Broadway guy, been in many
I'm
movies.
I'm almost scared of that last one. I'm going to say 56.
59 today for Nathan. Legendary, beautiful actress Morgan Fairchild. Flamingo Road. She played on Dallas. She's always 67. Been
67.
65 today for Morgan. Actress Blythe Danner. Of course, Gwyneth Paltrow's mother. She's played in many roles. The first thing that comes to mind for me is the mob in Meet the Fockers, Robert De Niro's wife.
I'm going to say 72.
Boom, right on the money. And last but not least, comedian Shelley Berman is 90 years young today. So happy birthday to all those celebrities and any of our listeners. You can find Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at The Chad Reports. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Thanks, everyone.